Simo, the movie dude.
Chewing for breakfast. Esperance's 747 Triple M. And it's a Friday, and we like to cover a new movie that's just come out at cinemas. Fenwick Cinemas on Dempster Street. That's the place you'd be going to watch this movie that we're about to cover. Simo, how are you going, mate?
Sean, I'm going good. It's good to be 747. I don't know if we're playing at 7:47, but we should, because that would be good synergy.
No, it's just, what's the time now? About almost 7:15, so we're about half an hour early.
Well, change your frequency, sure.
I don't know what goes into that. Is there some sort of setting that you just click a button or something? I feel like it's a bit more, radio waves a bit more complicated than that.
I don't know, Sean. I just watch movies. And guess what movie I saw?
Radio. No. starring Cuba Gooding Jr.
I watch that every week anyway, just to make sure I know what my career is going to look like.
What a tearjerker that one is. Your career as a, what, as an NRL or some sort of American football, I don't know, football boy, water boy?
Yeah, you know, okay. Just lifting for the team. No, Sean, I didn't see Radio by Cuba Gooding Jr. I saw Escape Room.
Escape Room. Okay. You're going to have to let me know what that one is about in terms of even the basic plot.
Okay. First of all, have you heard of escape rooms in general? It's kind of this new fad that started probably in the last 5 years, where you pay to go to a location. It's usually a room, and it's set up with a theme. Sometimes they can be like Egyptian or Sherlock Holmes, and you get locked in the room, and you have an hour to escape. And there's hints hidden around the room. You have to solve riddles. There are like physical puzzles you have to do to get the codes to locks and all. It's like this new, it's a new sort of fad.
Yeah, I've heard of them. In fact, my brother, who works for Bank West, he's done one as a team-building exercise to try and build a bit of team morale and everything, or try to lift team morale. One of those sort of things. It's not like a panic room, the movie Panic Room.
No, it's not. You're allowed to actually call people for hints, that sort of thing. But it's a fun kind of, you know, hour where you get to go into this mystery and you basically solve it yourself, or you don't, and you get trapped. But they've taken the concept of this and they've gone, oh, that's a fad from the past few years. Let's turn it into a horror movie.
Oh, okay. I like it. I like it a lot. So this is actually giving me Saw vibes in terms of you're locked in, you're trying to get through these clues, but there's a sinister edge to it.
Well, you're right. It felt like a Saw movie. So quick plot outline. They group together six people. Suddenly, they all get these invites to this super-secret escape room, and whoever escapes gets $10,000. Nice. So they all go there. They're all meeting up. They don't know each other, but they've all got something in their background that kind of links them together and why they were selected for the escape room, and you start finding out that old stuff. But what they don't realize, Sean, is the escape room dangers are real.
Oh, goodness. Okay. They must realize eventually after someone is hurt, though.
Yeah, so
yeah, when there's blood and screaming, usually that's a realization.
Yeah, so the first room kicks off. They're just kind of in this normal room. They don't realize that it's the first room, because much like a lot of these escape rooms, you go through one to get to another, to get to another, to get to another before you're allowed to actually get out. And the first room, no real spoilers because it's in the trailer and it's also in the first 15 minutes, it basically turns into a giant oven.
Oh no. I don't know heaps about ovens. Like, I've never actually done a proper roast, but you don't want to be in one because they get the temperatures quite, I mean, preheated is very hot, isn't it? Let alone proper heat.
It's warm. And the hints in their room are kind of all based around oven stuff. So they realize the door handle comes off and there's an oven dial in there. And then someone finds the number, 457. So what do they do? Oh, let's turn the dial to 457. Little do they know, they've turned on the oven to 457.
Oh dear.
Look, Sean, it's that kind of movie. It's really corny. You know how we said it's kind of similar to Saw?
Well, yeah.
It would have been a lot better if it leaned into being like Saw, because this, it's M-rated. But it could have been PG or something. It's not scary. It's not kind of, ooh, that was gory or anything like that. It seems like They could have gone harder with it and therefore made it have more of an impact. But what they did was like, oh, let's, you know, escape room and let's hope that we can get, you know, 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds to go there and be like, ah!
Mm, that's an interesting, like, you wouldn't think many horror movies are directed at children, to be completely honest with you. And that, I mean, that's what Saw was all about, that stylized violence, almost that popcorn gruesomeness that people are addicted to. But if you don't have that, and if you've got a pretty basic plot, I mean, you've just described it to me in about 10 seconds, then bit lacking sort of thing,
yeah,
as a movie? Okay.
And you can basically guess what's going to happen. So there's five rooms they have to go through. There's six people. Oh, what? Are we maybe going to lose a person every time we leave a room? That sort of thing. It's, you know, you can roll the dice. You can see what's going to happen with it. And, of course, because it's a horror movie and a thriller and, like, 2019, we have to chuck in some kind of weird, kind of twisty thing at the end, and then hopefully we can set up more movies, because that's what every movie has to do now. So
what's the
it's
twist?
That. It's generic.
What's the twist like? Were you surprised? Startled?
No. The ending was super, super corny, and okay, the whole thing isn't believable, but the ending made it even less believable than it should have been. And you're like, really? Did we have to? You guys could have ended this 10 minutes ago and, you know, okay, but you went the extra mile and you ruined it.
Okay, so how many ovens out of five does this one get?
This is 1.5 ovens out of five. Look, it's a cool concept and they didn't deliver. It could have been really good. It could have been good, but it wasn't, because it was just cheesy, dumb. I mean, if you want to go see cheap thrills where there's kind of minimal consequences, that sort of thing, you don't really see what happens to people, then, yeah, go for it. And, you know, if you really like escape rooms, then you can enjoy kind of playing along, solving the puzzles. But the puzzles are all really easy. You can see them.
Yeah, right. So it's like, unless you're an escape room enthusiast, then you probably won't get much out of this.
Yeah, I would escape this one.
Moving right along. Now, with the other movie review, which, you know, sometimes I lead, I think, it's a very loose format. It could be a movie. It could be a Netflix movie. It could be a Netflix special, one that I've just watched. And it might be, this week, Dirty John, even though I did consider doing radio with Cuba Gooding Jr. But no, it's Dirty John starring Eric Banner. Have you seen this one?
Eric Banner's back.
Eric Banner is back, baby. He's doing, and he does a marvelous job. Have you heard of Dirty John?
I've heard of it, but I haven't watched it. So please tell me, Sean. Sell me on it.
Dirty John is a new age film because it's based on a podcast, Simo. This is one of the first times this has happened. A podcast which has been so popular that Eric Banner has seen it and said, let's make this into a television series. And Netflix have said, we'll do that with you, Eric Banner. And lo and behold, here it is. And I think it's fairly popular.
Oh, that is such an Eric Banner move. Just listening to a podcast and going, you know what? I need to work.
He's been out of the conversation for a very long time, old Mr. Banner. One of our favourites Australians. So this is actually fairly interesting. So it's one of these cases where truth is almost stranger than fiction. You start off with a woman who lives in California, and she is rich. She's an interior designer, and she has all these expensive clients, and she has got so much money. She has apartments. She is very, very single, though, and on the dating game, so she's using, you know, your Tinder. They don't specify Tinder, but you can assume it's your Tinders. You can assume it's your, I don't know, what else is there? Bumble, is that a thing? What are the other dating sites? RSVP?
I don't know, Sean. I would never use those sort of things. I meet ladies organically through real-life interaction.
Yeah, here. Anyway, she decides to use whatever she uses, and she meets this guy called John. He's not Dirty John at this stage. He's just plain and simple John. He is an anaesthetist. It turns out that he's actually an anaesthetist nurse. There is a difference, but it's still kind of well paid. But that's the first of many little lies that creep in. Basically, her family just absolutely detest him, from the outset. They think that they just think he's there for the money. And they basically convinces her to move out with him. They get married very early on, 2 months into the relationship, Simo, which isn't that much time.
Ooh.
I don't know if you've been married after 2 months before.
Well, I haven't, but, you know, if she was quite rich, then maybe I would try to push the proceedings along.
You can see. Well, they're going on a holiday to Nevada. They're in Las Vegas, and lo and behold, next thing they come back with a ring. And then there's little weird things, like the first house they move into, he finds in her safe that she has $80,000 just lying around. And this is based on true fact, so it must have happened. And he's like, what are you going to do with that money? And she said, I just leave it here in case of a rainy day. $80,000 of disposable income, Simo. Holy Christ, I don't think I've made that much in my life.
I think I've got $80 in disposable income.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think I might have 73, and that number is specific because I actually only have 73. Anyway, the fact of the matter is that it sort of twists and turns, and you can see where it's setting up. Dirty John, he turns out he has that nickname from college by the way he used to speak to women, and it sort of goes on, and you get taken down this path, and you can tell where it's headed. There are some annoying. It's difficult because there are some bits where you're like, I don't know if I can believe that, but it's based on truth, Simo. So that makes it even more surprising. And there is a really, if you don't know the story, and it was all over the news in America. If you don't know how it ends, please don't go looking it up. Wait for the television series because the Netflix series, because at the very end, it's a pretty good twist.
So is it, how many episodes is it?
8 episodes, about 45 minutes each. And it's not like those series where the first and last episode are an hour and 10 minutes. No, they're all about 45 minutes.
Okay, Sean, how quick did you watch all this?
Ooh, a couple of days, 3 days. I'm a binge watcher. It's like 2 or 3 a night. I think I watched 2 in the first night, 3 in the second night, and 2 and 1. I think it was 4 days, so it wasn't a bad effort. I did give it a bit of time.
That's a fair effort, Sean. And I trust your judgment. How many, like, do we say Dirty Johns? How many Dirty Johns would you give it?
Three. I liked it, and it did carry me along all the way to episode 8. The twist in the last episode comes about halfway through, and then the end bit, which you kind of have to do, the semantics and the little bits and pieces, but it really did drag. Kind of like, well, I'm happy with it ending, just get on with it. And I think because well done to the actors that play the woman and her daughters, they as I said, based on true people, they're just that typical California. They're a bit rich and pretentious, and they're all drive rich cars and look down on people that don't. And so I don't really relate to that. I have the Triple M mobile and only that. And, you know, I'm a bit rough. Like, I'm not even wearing shoes right now. So I didn't relate to them. But apart from that, good story. Liked it. Can't wait to see more podcasts turn into television shows.
What I'm hearing, Sean, is we should go to California.
No, I'll go. I'll go if you go.
I'll go if you go, and then, you know, maybe we can find some rich people to maybe take care of us.
What would you do if you went to Hollywood? Would you be like a baby in a cot store? Is that the same?
What?
Would you be like a dog in a dog bone store?
A dog in a dog bones. I would be hungry, but I would be selective, I think, is the point.
What, in Hollywood? I thought you'd just be excited.
Oh, yeah, I'd be excited. But, I mean, you got to be careful. You can't just go for every single rich woman who's going to throw themselves at two Eric Banner-looking men.
Oh, I wish I looked like Eric Banner, and I know you do too. All right, we're going to leave it there. That's been your Simo Movie Dude review. You can catch that new release, Escape Room, at Fenwick Cinemas on Dempster Street, and you can catch Dirty John on Netflix. All good, Simo. Thanks for joining me.
Always a pleasure.